Welcome to the Membership Machine Show, talking you through your membership website from initial idea all the way to finished product. Here's your host, Jonathan Denwood.
Welcome back, folks, to the Membership Machine Show. This is episode 102. In this show, we're going to be talking about how do you market your membership site successfully in 2025. There's great opportunities in membership, building a real online community. We love WordPress, both me and Kirk. I've got my regular co-host with me, Kirk. Would you like to quickly introduce yourself to the new listeners and viewers?
Sure, Jonathan. Kurt von Annen with Mañana No Mas. We focus on membership and learning websites, and we also work directly with WP Tonic and Lifter LMS.
And Kirk is the school master, aren't you?
I like to think so.
Yes, he is the school master. He's had a rough day already, so I'm going to be merciful, my beloved tribe. So in this episode, we're going to be talking about something that's really, really important, and that's the marketing of your website. And things are changing. They've been changing in 2024. I'm grappling with these changes myself. Many people online are. I think we've got some great insights to share with you about what works, what doesn't work in marketing your membership community website. I want to start. So I think we'll leave it at that, and we'll go in to one of my adverts from one of the show's major sponsors. We will be back in a few moments, folks.
Hi there, e-commerce store owner. At Omnisend, we help more than 100,000 e-commerce customers just like you sell their products. We're an all-in-one email and SMS marketing platform that helps you reach your customers, grow your audience, and increase sales. In fact, our customers have seen incredible results with Omnisend, averaging $72 in revenue for every single dollar spent. And if you ever have a question, our award-winning customer support team is available 24/7 every single day. That's one of the reasons we have more than 6,000 glowing reviews and ratings all across the web. So get started with Omnisend today and start growing your business with better email and SMS marketing.
We're coming back, folks. Want to point out that I've got a great resource, a free resource for you. All it is a curated list of the best WordPress plugins and services, plus some great special offers from the sponsors of the show and a load of other goodies, plus a free course developed by Kirk himself that shows you how to build a WordPress membership website really quickly, really easily, utilizing the most modern WordPress technology, and you get that at an amazing discount price. You can get all these goodies by going over to wp-tonic.com/deals. wp-tonic.com/deals. So this is a really important subject, folks, because I think people, for understandable reasons, especially if this is your first time building a course or building a membership website, there are a lot of balls in the air, and people get totally worked up and mesmerized by the technology, by all the options I linked to WordPress. Or if you're not utilizing WordPress, if you're using something like Kajabi or Mighty Networks, they seem to be the two main platforms people look at if they're not, well, Podio as well. Podio, Kajabi, Mighty Networks. They're the three main leaders if you're not going to use WordPress. If you're not utilizing WordPress, people have the same problem. They get mesmerized by the technology. What you should be concentrating is like what we've preached consistently in 2024 is build a minimum viable course. And really you need to concentrate on the marketing of that course. So this is a really important subject. How would you respond to what I've just outlined, Kurt?
I think one of the biggest things to think of is I was listening to you, Jonathan, and you were saying people get mesmerized by the technology. People get mesmerized by the technology. I'm going to go out on a limb and I'm going to say there's an inordinate percentage of people that don't, that get down the road of making a course or making a membership and haven't even considered the marketing of it or what's going to be involved or the work involved. Right. I think there's a lot of times you and I will work with a client and it hits like a ton of bricks. Like, oh my goodness, they still think this is 1996. They think they're going to put out a URL, a website, and people are going to come to it. And that's just not realistic right now. I mean, it's a job in and of itself to market whatever it is you've developed.
Yeah, you got a great point. It's not that they have concentrated at marketing. They haven't done anything around marketing. They've spent a long time building a course. And when you ask them, how are you going to market this? How are you going to get your first clients? Which we've covered.
Yeah. Yeah.
It doesn't have to be that difficult. You just need some strategy. And we've got some episodes that you can listen to in the catalogue that covers that, folks. I don't plan to repeat in this episode that deeply. But the reply normally is paid advertisement. And don't get me wrong, I'm a great believer in paid advertising. I might be doing some of it myself in 2025. I will be doing some paid advertising in 2025. But I see you've got to prove your business model. You've got to prove that there's a demand for your course. You've got to have a few students go through the course to work out the bugs. You do not want to go down the paid advertisement route unless you're proving your business model, there's a demand for it, you worked out the bugs, and you got some processes, because paid advertisement is expensive and it won't work unless you've got an effective membership business model. Your response, Kurt?
I agree. I agree 100%. To me, paid advertising simply amplifies whatever the results are. So if you've got some good results and people coming in and liking your product, paid advertising will amplify people coming in and liking your product. But if you don't have any paying customers and you just launch paid advertising and you have copy that's not verified, images that aren't verified, no one's consuming, you're amplifying zero results.
I think you got to have your homepage normally is your main landing page initially, or you set up a landing page with the offer. You don't even have to build out a whole, you could just build a landing page specifically for this course offering a special offer for early bird signups.
Yep.
50% of your time should be spent on the marketing, setting up the landing page and how you're going to market this course, and 50% of your time on building the course and getting it set up. Would you agree?
Yeah. Yeah, you definitely got to have a time split, and it's got to be substantial. It can't be some 95.5% thing. It's your 50-50 example's pretty dang close.
Yeah, normally I see 95% of the time on the look of the website, the look of the course, where the sign up button will be, the look of the grid, or if you've got multiple courses, and about 5% of time on how we're going to market this thing. And then they wonder why they're not getting any sign up. And then they think, my course, there is no demand for my course. I spent all this time and it's been a waste of time. I'm just going to give up.
Yeah.
And it's regrettable, because some of the best courses and the best instructors and the most knowledgeable people that really got something to offer are some of the regular people that I see giving up.
Yeah, I've seen that too.
And it's very regrettable. So how can you avoid that? Well, fundamentally, there's two areas I think that people are saying that SEO is going to die in 2005. I personally think that's nonsense. Basically, search is going to be linked to AI. You've got chat search now. The results that come up if you're using AI chat search functionality, be in that snippet, it's called a snippet, is really important, that you be the one from three of the resources that the snippet is getting its information from. The fight will just move to manipulating the AI to come up with the snippet of information, and you be one of those three links. And the truth with SEO, traditional SEO, is that if you weren't in the top three of traditional search, you hardly got any traffic. And the truth is, if you wanted to get some real traffic, most of the terms are called long tail SEO terms. They don't get a high volume anyway. You can overcome that by being really targeted at a niche audience. But a lot of them didn't get a lot of traffic anyway. And if you weren't number one, the number one spot of organic search got 70% of the search anyway. So when you look at the actual facts, it's quite a brutal battlefield, isn't it, Kirk?
Yeah. It's and this was kind of in our discussion with the WP Tonic show with Jack, and that's business owners, course creators, entrepreneurs on the internet are almost being forced into a content creator mode, right? You have to have something on all these channels to generate interest, eyes, and traffic to whatever your main product is.
Yeah, so I've got this concept of quality marketing hubs.
Yeah.
And this comes from this, is that you've got to get author authority, as I call. You've got to be seen by Google as being an authority in your subject. And really, you should try and build this before you build your corpse, really. If you haven't done it, don't give up. Because if you have listened to the previous episodes and you have niched, you've got a broad category, but you zeroed in on a niche, you, with the writing of the right articles, you can get some level of Google juice. If one of the ways you're going to get traffic is by writing articles. The problem is around this is the concept of domain authority. And what I mean by that, if you've got a domain and it's less than a year old, you're going to be put into a semi-sandbox by Google anyway. They treat all domains that are new with a high degree of suspicion, and it's very unlikely that you're going to get, even though the article, the piece is focused, it's focused on the niche, it has good content, it has relevant information, it has all the factors that Google is looking for. If your domain is less than a year old, it is unlikely to get the traffic that you feel it deserves. A lot of people buy, especially digital experience marketers, buy domains that are 2, 3, 4 years old that have been given up by the original register that have a history in a particular category to overcome this hurdle. But Google's gotten onto that as well. So if you get old domain in a particular subject, let's say health, and they haven't published anything for a while, and then suddenly 100 articles a week have been published on it, it will just trigger Google. But basically, what if you're in a specific area and you've got to understand this, but don't let it put you off. It's still worthwhile putting the effort in, because that year or 6 months will go quickly. Is building your content, but build it in particular subsections of your main subject, and have a central page that's about these sub topics, and that central page should lead to the main piece that you're promoting. So it's a bit like a spider web of, you have subcategories and a main category, and that builds a good quality website that Google will in the end see as an authority in that particular niche. Is this making sense, Kurt?
Yeah, and I think people that are new to the concept that might be listening might need some more clarification, but, you know, pick fitness. We've mentioned fitness before. So let's say you have a fitness-oriented project, and then you have a branch of that that is weight loss, and then you have a branch of that that is flexibility, and you have a branch of that that is strength, and then you're writing specific articles that reinforce each of those branches to become kind of the authority on that subtopic. And I think that's the way Jonathan's describing that.
Yeah. Basically, there's some good WordPress tools. I tend to use external tools to do the SEO research, folks. I think you at this stage, you don't have to bother with them. Just look at what the competition is doing. Look at the knowledge you have around the particular subject. Do some search, write down some subject headers, then put them into search, look at the competition, look what they're producing, and be honest, what are the good bits about the competition's pieces? What are the areas that they're not giving the information that if you were that student would be looking for? And just make sure your first few articles are well written, not too wordy. You know, there's plenty of YouTube tutorials about writing for websites. People that tend to write a lot, but not for websites, tend to overwrite.
Yeah.
It's too wordy. But there's plenty of resources out there about short paragraphs. The other thing is, it does depend on the subject, folks, is that people tend to write to a higher educational level. They write at a level at university or master level. The average reading level should be at seventh grade. There's a great free tool out there that can give you advice. It's called Hemingway. They do a paid version, but they also do a free version, and that you can put your writing into it, and it will tell you if it's too wordy, and you're looking, depending on the audience, between seventh and ninth grade when it comes to readability. What do you reckon, Kurt?
Yeah, all of that and the structure, like long paragraphs you want to avoid. You want to split your paragraphs into shorter paragraphs, and then you want to use, you know, good headings, a lot of H2s and H3s, so that when Google or other search engines, you know, scan it, they go, okay, this is broken up. This information is, you know, parsed. And so if you follow certain structures, you're going to have a certain amount of success, but it's really important to note, this is not an overnight thing. This is not an easy button. This takes work and planning.
Yeah. Now, when it comes to AI writing tools, none of us knows precisely what Google thinks, but this is my perspective of it, and I've done a lot of research on this. I don't think Google fundamentally cares. What Google cares is, does the content that you're producing match the requirement of the search? So a person does a search, Google's looking for certain signs that confirms that when they come to your page, the content that they're exposed to meets the search intent. That's all that Google cares about fundamentally. Now, I think there are people that about a year ago when AI really started to get traction a year and a half ago, they were on YouTube, they were marketing SEO influencers, they were pushing this concept that you could buy a domain that had some history. They were aimed at people that make a good living from affiliate links, and they were suggesting that you could build up a high traffic affiliate website, which would normally take 3 to 4 years, would at least 18 months, that by using AI, you could build up 300, 400 articles in less than a month or something, and you could get traffic. Google soon cottoned on. Some of the biggest influencers on YouTube that were pushing this message got absolutely destroyed with one or two Google search updates. They had to basically do a pivot, and basically these people are just pushing Pinterest now and becoming getting traffic from Pinterest. Now, a lot of people got scared off with AI things, but I think as long as you use AI as a tool and edit the material and conscious that you've got to add other parts to it and use AI to make the process easier so you can add even more value to the content, I don't think really Google cares. It's when you just use AI just to produce any rubbish. You don't know anything about the topic. You haven't bothered to do any research. You haven't looked at how you're adding any extra value to the content. That's when you're going to get into trouble. Unfortunately, because of these influencers and I'm going to use the word misuse of AI, everybody got clobbered to some extent. A lot of quality websites in the Word, and I know this because I've spoken to a number of WordPress entrepreneurs, and they've seen their traffic half, they've seen their traffic go down by 2/3. I was expecting it to happen to me. It didn't for quite a while. I thought I'd missed a bullet. And then about 2 months ago, I got clobbered. I have worked out a strategy to recover from it. It is going to cost money and time and energy, but I'm pretty confident in the next few months I'll be able to. But yeah, it's meant, folks, that the whole situation has been in a lot of flux. Now, there are a couple of AI writers that I would recommend to you that are not that expensive. If you're paying monthly, one is called SEO Writer AI. That's a pretty good one. And the prices, like I say, you can buy their middle plan for around $20 a month. Another one is Agility Writer. The links will be in the show notes, folks. Agility Writer, that's the same. It's a little bit more expensive. They have a plan that starts, I think, around $30 a month. There's a load of these AI writers. These two, if you do a search or you do a search for YouTube, you see that a lot of people that are giving advice rate these quite highly. So I have used them. I use other tools, but they're much more expensive than these. I think the price metrics for what they produce, they're definitely two tools that you should look at. What do you reckon? Am I making some sense?
Yeah. It's and I don't want to, people that are new to the course or membership pathways, you know, listening to the show, I don't want to communicate that you've got to be this SEO expert and all this stuff. I think the main core of your message coming through to a startup or to a new person is, if you don't jank around and try special tricks and black hat weirdness, if you just make good content that is organized and specific and niche down to your specialty, you're gonna do okay starting out in the Google world, right? I want to see people try something as opposed to getting overwhelmed and doing nothing.
Exactly. Use these tools. You don't have to do much SEO research.
Yeah.
That's when you start getting traction with your business. Just, you know, you're the expert in your particular area. Niche down, find a niche, join some Facebook groups. Find out if this niche really exists. You know, if you've got specific Facebook groups, Reddit areas, there's a number of discussion platforms out there. Find groups around your niche, join in the conversation, observe, write down problems that are coming up regularly. Can your course help solve those problems? And then write posts about those problems.
Yep.
That gives some insight about the problem, why people have the problem, give them some tips, insights about fixing the problem. And then when you divert to your course, you can have a link that goes to your landing page. Can you see how this works, folks? It's not jet science. So thanks, Kirk. Because that's one of the problems of going into these conversations is, obviously I've got a fair bit of knowledge in this area.
Yeah.
Spend enough hours researching, trying tools. It consumes my whole life, Kirk. I have become because I can't afford to pay for a digital marketing manager. I've become one myself, right? I think this is a good time for our middle break. Hopefully you haven't lost too many of you. I've tried to keep it as non-techie in language as possible. We will be back in the second half with some more marketing advice in a few minutes, folks.
Tired of hosting providers that can't handle high traffic loads? Convessio is here to help. Our platform can handle any amount of traffic, all without slowdown or crashing. With immediate Slack support, performance optimization, and a team that thrives on resolving technical challenges, your e-commerce business is in safe hands. Learn more about Convessio at convessio.com.
This podcast episode is brought to you by Lifter LMS, the leading learning management system solution for WordPress. If you or your client are creating any kind of online course, training-based membership website, or any type of e-learning project, Lifter LMS is the most secure, stable, well-supported solution on the market. Go to lifterlms.com and save 20% at checkout with coupon code podcast20. That's podcast20. Enjoy the rest of your show.
We're coming back, folks. We've had a feast about AI, writers, AI in general, marketing in general, how marketing your membership website is gonna change in 2025. But I fundamentally believe that the fundamental principles aren't going to change. But it's a change, really flexing, changing environment for everybody, folks. Before we go into the second half, I want to point out also that we've got a great free resource, totally free. where you can ask me or Kurt questions. You can ask other people questions around marketing, around WordPress, about membership. And that's the Membership Machine Facebook group. It's a totally free resource. We've got a great group of people there. Why don't you join us on there? Like I say, you've got any questions about the show, that's the place to put your questions on, and I will attempt to answer them, or Kirk will, or somebody else that really knows what they're talking about that's a member of the group. We'd love you to join it. So, let's move on. Upselling, cross-selling, subscriptions. I suppose that's around working with partners. I think it can work really well if the problem is trust. And what I mean by trust is that you're trying to piggyback on somebody else's notoriety in a particular niche area. You've approached them and you're prepared to offer them a really great affiliate or partnership deal. The thing is, they've got to really believe in you. You've got to believe in the course, and they've got to believe that you've got to do, you're going to do some reasonable marketing. But on the other hand, if you set up a decent landing page, it's obviously you worked out the thing. You can actually talk to this person, do a quick Zoom with them. It can really work, but I think this has really got to be laser focused. You've got, through your research or your niche, you've got to find some established players that aren't direct competitors but have some influence in a more broader area of the subject, not a direct competitor of your niche area of that broader topic. But, and then through the forums, through joining certain Reddit areas, by social media, try and build some kind of relationship so the person can recognize you. And then when you're ready, have a one-to-one Zoom with that person. Do not send a typical affiliate email to these people, because it will just end up in junk. I think, just being honest, saying, I built this website, I'm looking. There's various advisors on YouTube and on the internet how to do your initial outreach. Get a small group, try and build some relationship online with that person, direct message them about you would like a quick Zoom with them. Do not waste their time. Get to the nitty gritty as quickly as possible. You might get a bigger player that is prepared to sponsor your new course, and it will make a big difference if you can get the right partner. What do you reckon, Kurt?
Yeah, I think this one's harder. This one's harder in practice than it is in thought, right? for it to work successfully. I mean, immediately I think of, think of like coaches, trainers, and speakers, right? So they go and get some John Maxwell certification. And so the John Maxwell connection is the higher tier, right? But then how do you piggyback off of that John Maxwell association to sell your coaching and your consulting? And so you could have other coaches and consultants within that circle, maybe do some affiliate or cross-selling with you based on regions and stuff like that. But it takes a lot to pull that off and make it successful. To Jonathan's point, if you just start spamming people or hitting LinkedIn and sending people blind LinkedIns about become an affiliate and make money selling my training for me, that's not going to work. If anything, that'll just create some negative flow in your direction. So you want to be really careful and personable as you try and launch an affiliate or cross sell with other folks.
Yeah, it's not a volume game. You just want one or two of the right influences.
The right solid connections. Jonathan, this is a really good point to just reiterate, and we've said it many times, so we don't have to go deep on this. You're not looking for 10,000 students. You're looking for 25, 30, 50 students and to begin growing your brand, growing your circle, your own community. And so these are the things that we're talking about that get you to those first 25, 30, 50 students.
Yeah, these are realistic goals for a realistic launch of a new membership product and website. These are the realistic goals. And then you can, that would be a great start. And then you can rapidly move on to stage two.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, if I have a solid affiliate relationship with somebody that refers five paying students to me and they're at the magic number of 497 here.
497 is the magic number for 2025.
That's a huge success, right? And then if you've done it right, increasing by those five students, that's going to become 10 students next year, 15 students the year after that. And that's what this is meant to be. It's going to grow over time.
We're on to audience segmentation. Well, that's really linked to number one about quality marketing, huh?
Yes.
You know, but the more you niche down, the more you have naturally done audience segmentation. But there's also, there's the segmentation of behavior, as I call it. You know, if you try and hit somebody too early, too hard, you're not going to have success. It's a bit like dating. There's got to be some finesse about it, in my opinion. But, you know, it's the same here. As you grow your audience, as you grow the volume of traffic that hits your website, the more segmentation becomes more important and marketing optimization around. A lot of SaaS platforms really go on about marketing optimization and segmentation. It's really important at the right stage, folks. Really, but it's at a much higher stage than most of the audience that are probably listening to this podcast. You need a certain amount. You really just want a decent newsletter and you want an onboarding sequence. Where marketing optimization is important is having a really good onboarding process, and also having, when people finish, having a sequence that engages them into a quick survey so you can gather. At the really early stages, when people are finishing, if you're offering them a really great early bird offer, one of the things you've got to get from them is their agreement that when they finish the course, that they're going to have a Zoom with you, and you can spend a quick 20 minutes finding out what they liked and what they didn't like. As it grows, you just do an online survey, or after they finish the course, because finding out what the good bits and what the bad bits, you'll be surprised. I've said this a number of times when I've set up online businesses, the things that I thought people would really rave about are the things they really don't care anything about. And the things that I thought they really wouldn't care about, they really do care about. And it's the same if you're starting a course. What do you reckon?
Yeah, right on the money. We start with the best of intentions and we think we know what we're doing, but the audience really tells us for sure. And you need to get that feedback. It's precious so that you can, you know, retool the offer for the new people coming in.
Yeah. And we have an onboarding process at WP Tonic, but our onboarding is that we have a one-to-one Zoom with you to find out your specific needs. I have quite a few people say to me, well, I just want a vanilla membership website. I can tell you, folks, that does not exist. Every customer that we help has different requirements, and we have a bespoke boutique hosting environment around WordPress aimed at membership and community, people building community that want the freedom that basically, they want to own their business, not lease it off a SaaS platform. They actually want to own it. Isn't it best in the end to own your home rather than lease it in the end? It's the same with your membership website. paid advertisement, paid targeted demographics. I did pronounce it correctly in the end. Like I say, paid advertisement is really effective if done in the right way. Great believer in YouTube advertising and Facebook advertising. You've got to have a good landing page. You've got to have the right offering and you've got to know how to do the adverts. The more you niche your own product, when it comes to Facebook, over the last 3 years, your ability to really micro-target has been diminished. But by utilizing the right graphics, the right video, you can get people to self-identify themselves. The other really great thing is if you can get people to sign up and start building up your email list, you then can import that list into Facebook and you can then set up a lookalike audience. They will look at that email list and then they will find people that are similar. YouTube has similar functionality as well when it comes to online YouTube. Facebook knows a lot about their audience. They know a lot about me. They know a lot about, well, maybe not Kirk because he doesn't use it that much. But Facebook really knows. So building out your email list, it doesn't have to be massive, but it is something that it's also easier to market to people that sign up to your email list for your next course, for your next digital product. So having some really good offers, some freebie offers that really gets, and spending time on the message and just the offer in general. The other thing is importing that list and doing a lookalike audience campaign. It's going to be cheaper and it's going to be a lot more effective. What do you reckon, Kurt?
I definitely hear what you're saying, and I'm trying to line that up with real life experience with both me and my clients. And the one thing that I have come away with on paid advertising, Jonathan, and feel free to correct me if I am wrong, I have found that people that come in with a very limited budget get not great results, very little ROI. But the people that I've worked with that have had $3,000 to $5,000 of budget money to play with in paid advertising have seen a better return.
Well, you will need a budget between $5,000 and $1,000 a month for this to get any kind of result. By retargeting is that people that hit your website, you can put a Facebook pixel on the website, and people that hit the website, they will then see your advert if they go to Facebook or Instagram, for instance. That is quite effective, right? Because I forgot the precise statistic, folks. It's quite breathtaking. I think it's almost 60 to 70% of people that come to your website will never come back again.
Yep.
You've got to get traffic to your website. That is not easy, folks. A functioning commercial website, you've got to get about 5,000 unique hits per month. That's a very broad figure, but that's an industry recognized figure, folks. And almost half the registered hits, this can fluctuate and be different, are bots anyway. They're not real people hitting your website anyway. They're bots, they're spiders of some type. It's brutal, folks. But if they're hitting your website and they're a real person, retargeting can be really effective and it will be at a much lower rate than then driving new people to a specific landing page by using Facebook or Instagram. Lookalike audience, if you've got some kind of email list, I really like that. And it's at a lower rate as well. So more of your Facebook marketing budget will go further and it's much more targeted. So I've just given you two types of usage with Facebook that I think are quite suitable for people. But you've got to have a mark. You've got to at least have 250 a month and then grow it to 500. And if you're starting to get to traction, you really got to be looking at 1,000 a month.
Yeah.
At least to really start, but it can be effective. What do you reckon, Kurt?
Yeah, no, I agree with everything you said there. I've seen a lot of people go into the ad machine, right, and start setting it up, and they just go, well, I just want to try it. I just want to sample it for $50 or $100. And it's like, you're not going to see anything.
Yeah, you're going to get some traction, but it's more of an experiment. It's about more trying out adverts and finding things that start. One of the problems with Facebook Manager, the Facebook advertising platform, is they're always changing it. It's a dog's breath of an interface. So is YouTube paid advertising. Their interface linked to Google Analytics is a dog's interface, as far as I'm concerned. Talk about interface design and usability. It's such a joke to the major advertising platforms. I literally have to retrain myself. I have run for clients' Facebook campaigns. I'm probably going to have to delve into it in a lot more detail in the coming months because I'll be planning to run my own campaigns. I have got a partner with another business that I run that he does run Facebook campaigns for me, for our clients in my other business. And we plan to do some advertising for that business. And we got a new client as well. Another way is to set up your own Facebook group and your own Facebook page, post consistently content, and then boost some of that. Unfortunately, your Facebook page, unless you spend a bit of money, it's really not going to be shown to a lot of people. But the page has to be at a real niche, and you've got to do some really good graphics. But then spending a bit of money to promote those posts on your page, and then have links on your page that takes people to a Facebook group. That's another method that I've seen work and get some reasonable results, Kurt.
Yeah. Yeah, I agree.
I think we've already talked about affiliate to some extent.
Yeah.
And virtual events. Yeah, I think YouTube, all the social media platforms, they're really promoting people that are doing live events. The thing is, they're time consuming, but I presume you're in the scenario where you've got more time than money. So if you're doing all the other things that we're talking about and you can promote your live event, I've got it here, virtual event, but it's really live eventing, using something like we do our podcasts and our live events here. When we got a guest that promotes the podcast or promote, when I have a special guest for this podcast, we get a few people joining us. Try and do this at the same time every week. We've had a few people. We've got nobody joining us this week. It's quite surprising. It's probably the title or whatever. I'm not saying it's easy, but if you can build a Facebook group and a community and you can get them joining you for the live event, that really will accelerate how many new people that will see the live event. And then if you've got a good special offer, you can send them to a landing page that is around your new course. I've seen loads of people. It works. What do you reckon, Kurt?
Real life talk. You know, a couple of months ago, we were looking at the types of clients we were getting at Mañana No Más, and we started to focus on score more, because you well know.
The score master.
Score master. So we made a dedicated scornpress.com website. We have some dedicated blog titles on SCORM. We made a couple of videos about SCORM. We made a course about how to put SCORM on your website. And Jonathan, we had like 5 or 6 serious leads just last week from this. If you do the work, it will happen. And to Jonathan's point with this virtual event thing, you know, we put out a webinar on how to add SCORM to a WordPress website. If we list that on StreamYard and connect our StreamYard to Facebook and YouTube and LinkedIn, all of those platforms will post you as an upcoming live event. And so it drives people to at least click in and see if they're halfway interested. And then if you do it right, the retargeting takes over and some of the other tools that we've talked about today begin to send people to your actual asset. So it works. But you have to put in the work, and you have to provide value, and you have to make yourself, back to Jonathan's original thing, you have to create domain authority over the fact that you're the expert in whatever the niche is that you're promoting.
Yeah, what I really think is there's a subsection of so-called YouTube influencers, Facebook influencers. Give us $6,000, give us $10,000, and we've got they don't say, because it would get them into legal troubles, but they influence the impression that it's a guaranteed process. The only defense to it, there's one lady that pushes it, but they are pushing that it's a 6 to 10,000 course mentorship. But it does really also depends the type of people that can lay that money down. I would imagine they've built some influence anyway. And such customers, if you can attract them, it's probably your more technical problems about their marketing, that it's little tweaks that if you do, you probably can get them, because hopefully they've got audience, they've got experience, they've got the course, they've got the knowledge. It's just they're not doing some things correctly. In some ways, such people are easier to deal with because they're at a different level of their journey. So they're self-selecting through their price mechanism to some degree.
Yeah.
That's to be fair. I just don't want to get the impression, because you might be listening to this podcast, folks, and you're thinking, oh my God, this sounds terrible. This is a ton of work. Well, it is work, folks, but the great thing is that as long as you got some plan of action, you can do this as a side hustle, and you can do this when you're in full-time employment, and it's totally achievable, and it's at a level which you can work on and gradually build it out. And if you wish to, get it to a stage where you can give up your job if you want to. And it's totally achievable. That's the good news. But the bad news, yeah, there is some work into it. If there wasn't any work into it, everybody would be doing this, folks.
Yeah.
And you wouldn't be able to make any money from it, folks. That's just the brutal truth about it. I think that's enough of me waffling, isn't it, Kurt? But I think it's been bad. I think I put some meat on it about Facebook advertising, some real recommendations about AI. It's not all been pie in the sky stuff, isn't it? I think we've done a reasonable job, haven't we?
Yeah, no, the most reasonable job that we can do, Jonathan, is what you said at the very end. You know, don't talk people out of it, right? Like there, this is a pathway. The thing is, the glory is you're working with something that you hopefully have some passion for or love for, or you wouldn't be doing it in the first place, right?
Well, they kind of see the course must be part of this organic authority building.
Yeah.
You must realize the course success is around the success of promoting yourself as an expert in that particular niche sector of a broader category. That is the, if you just look at making a course, which Kirk is a major trainer with Lifter LMS, and I'm part of some of his Lifter LMS groups, and people tend to see building the course and they have no concept of that they really need to be building themselves as the authority in that niche which the course is part of.
Yeah. Yeah. The course is just an element of the project. It's not the project.
The project is you being seen as a influencer expert in that particular niche area. It's going to be our last show for 2024. We will be back in the new year. I personally want to wish you a great Thanksgiving for yourself and your family, a really happy Christmas and New Year. And I want to wish Kirk that and his family that as well. He's been very supportive with the podcast. I think our numbers have gone consistently up. Like I say, if you've got any questions, just join the Membership Machine Facebook group and you can ask anything there. Kirk, what is the best way for people to find out more about you and what you're up to?
Well, for work stuff, Mañana No Más, for sure. Mañana No Más is where we take care of a lot of folks. And then on a personal connection note, just hit me up on LinkedIn. I'm the only Kurt Von Onen on LinkedIn. I'm easy to find.
He is the linking schoolmaster, my beloved audience. And I've said that, I don't know, this part of me that's very childish, isn't it? I'm a strange concoction of different things. I don't know.
Maybe.
No, I'm well aware of it. There's a real childish. I just love saying the schoolmaster.
The schoolmaster.
The schoolmaster. All right, we will be back in the new year, folks. We'll see you soon. Bye.
Thanks for listening to the Membership Machine Show. Make sure you subscribe so you don't miss any future episodes and leave a rating to support the show. Until next time.